Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope you find it has meaning and relevance for your life. And now may you be blessed as you hear the reading of God's Word.
Happy Sunday, church. This is the reading from Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great gale arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey?" This is a reading of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Who then is this that even the winds and the storms and the rains obey? Another way of saying this is if the Lord is for us, who can be against us? And do you know who you have on your team in the back of the boat with you? So good morning. My name is David Lessner, and I want to invite us to ponder those questions as we think about this scripture verse. On first glance and really at second glance, there's really not a whole lot to this scripture verse. I mean, it's right there in the story for us to see, but it is important to know that as Jesus is somewhat rebuking the storm and asking the disciples, "Why do you have such little faith? Why are you worried about this storm?" that we can remember that in our lives, we do have storms that rage, and we do have times in which maybe we think to ourselves, "God, are you not in the boat with me? Why are you letting this happen? Why is this coming on? Why isn't this stopping yet?" And for us to always remember, God is in the boat with us. But like I said, it is easy to forget. If we look at where the disciples were, they're on the Sea of Galilee. And so this is the Sea of Galilee. And you can see even across the water, this is not that big of a body of water. It's definitely bigger than Lake Levan, Lake Louisville kind of area. But it really only measures about 8 or 9 feet wide and about, or feet, very small, 8 or 9 miles wide and 13 miles long if you go from north to south. And the disciples are traveling with Jesus from kind of a northwest to southeast passage. They're traveling from Capernaum, where we've seen Jesus went to after the people in Nazareth almost threw him off a cliff. And he's been healing people and teaching, preaching in synagogues. He's been performing miracles. And now is the time where Jesus is confronted by such a great crowd. He actually gets in a boat so that he's not swarmed by them, gets into a boat, it teaches the people, and then, I don't know, on a whim, maybe it's on a plan, who knows, says, "Let's go to the country of the Gerasenes." So he goes southeast to Gerasa and encounters what is a Gentile crowd. So here the disciples are going from the Jewish home where they've always known. Remember, people didn't travel very much. Fishing was just, you know, just off the coast. It wasn't this massive deadliest catch endeavor that we see on Discovery Channel. And so they stayed in their own hometown. They stayed in their own area. They didn't travel very much except maybe for the Passover. And so going into this Gentile town is already frightening enough. On top of that, from what, you know, the storms the disciples have already encountered, the storms we've been kind of talking about, and we don't think about them as storms necessarily, but think about what we've been doing in the way of Jesus. We've been in the wilderness being tempted. We've taken upon that responsibility. We have seen the healings and the miracles, putting ourselves in the place of being with sick people, being with people who need healing, and the storm that kind of rages on when we maybe encounter anger with that, or maybe encounter doubt with that. And we also have the expectations of the Sermon on the Mount that we talked about last week, which that is the good news of Jesus Christ. This is the lifestyle that leads to the kingdom of heaven. But at the same time, they're really lofty expectations, and they're all the way to the top of the mountain. There is no halfway about them. And so there could be some internal storm raging on in there. And so the disciples have been dealing with this. They've had this kind of maybe angst going around. People are starting to know who Jesus is. The plots about, you know, getting uncomfortable and maybe removing Jesus from the Pharisees and Sadducees are starting to take shape. And Jesus, or the disciples, have had to kind of live with this and encounter this and going forward. And now all of a sudden they're in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, of the raging storm, and their first thought is, "Go wake up Jesus. Let's go wake him up." Now, in this, the disciples have certain things right. Now, I want you to picture this a little more. So Jesus is asleep in the back of the boat. This is what's called the Jesus boat. And it is a very well-preserved hull of a ship that they pulled up from the Dead Sea, and the salt helped it maintain a lot of its structure and a lot of its integrity. So that's the hull of it, and this is kind of a recreation someone made. So we're out on the Sea of Galilee, and we have what Scripture says in the Greek is seismos, which you heard of seismology. It's the measurement of earthquakes, study of earthquakes. So the word Scripture uses to refer to the storm is that of an earthquake. It is bone-shattering, life-shattering, shaking the very foundations of the sea. And here we have a 23-foot-long fishing boat. Now, I've been, when we went to Alaska with my granddad, I was in the middle. There was a lot of light drizzle as we left from our first port. And shortly after we had kind of endeavored into the Pacific Ocean to go up to Alaska, a massive lightning storm hit. Now, in the back of my mind, I know that I'm basically on a floating city, you know, despite what Carnival may tell you or whatever, that, you know, no matter what's going on, I'm on a floating city. There's very little chance anything bad is going to happen to me on this cruise. But in the front of my mind, the first thing I'm thinking is I'm running down to my cabin and I'm getting in the safest place possible because I am in the middle of the ocean and there's a lightning storm going on. What kind of bad thing is going to happen to me, right? And so here are the disciples. You can have a little pity on them. That they're in a 23-foot fishing boat, and you can see how high the wall is on in there. And Scripture decides it is seismos, a storm of earthquake proportions are going on there. And the disciples go back to Jesus. And this is what we think is good and right and appropriate, right? When we have storms in our lives, we go to Jesus. I polled people on Facebook, you know, what is it about faith that calms you down? And I say a prayer, I put myself in front of Jesus, I put myself at the mercy of God, and I go in there. And so the disciples, though, and we can attest to this a little bit, we're really good at getting things half right in our faith life. We know that go to Jesus, right? That's the number one answer. We always tell, go to Jesus. The disciples are really good at this, but we can see that they get things half right. And Mark is the sports center of Gospels. It's fast, furious, get to the point, go from event to event. It's also the point in which Jesus seems slightly mean, I suppose. You know, it's business. It's going, and Jesus rebukes him several times for getting kind of half-truths right. We have chapter 6. Jesus is in front of 5,000 people who's been teaching, and he takes pity on them and says, let's give them something to eat. What's the disciples' reaction to that? It's impossible, right? There's no way we can do this. Yet the little boy comes with 5 loaves and 2 fishes and says, here you go, let's make it happen. And so Jesus sees the impossible, or sees the possible out of the impossible in there. The disciples, even though they have been through so much with Jesus, you notice in our scripture verse today, do you still not have any faith? So they've been through so much that they still don't think Jesus can do that. 6:51, then he got into the boat with them and the wind ceased and they were utterly astounded. This is the end of the Jesus walking on water story. So again, they've seen the 5,000 loaves. And if you read the whole verse of that, then he got into the boat with them and the wind ceased and they were utterly astounded, for they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. And they just generally kind of doubted who they were with. I mean, they'd seen all these kind of different things. You can go even farther. Chapter 10, we get deeper into Mark, and the little children are rushing in to sit in Jesus's lap or to be with Jesus, and we think this is a wonderful scripture image. Did the disciples like the idea of these children coming to Jesus? No, the disciples wanted to keep the little brats away because this was a respected teacher. This was a rabbi. This was somebody who doesn't deal with people who are not quite on his level yet, right? But we see that Jesus has the mindset and the image of God. And so Jesus says, let the children come to me. This is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So the disciples don't quite get it there. And then even farther in Mark 10:35, this is while the disciples are walking on to their next stop. James and John, who are on the kind of inner circle of Jesus, they ask him, teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you, which is really good to go to the Lord of all the universe and say, I want you to do what I want you to do, right? That's always a good step. And so do you remember what, if you've been through disciple Bible study at all, what James and John ask for Jesus to do? When you come into your kingdom, can one of us be on the right side and one of us be on the left side so that we will be we'll be the highest of the high. We'll be exalted above everybody else. Who is the greatest amongst us, right? And so for those of us who have been through church for a while, when you get to the message of Jesus, it's not really about you, is it? It's not really about me being the greatest. And so James and John still don't get it, even when we're this close to the cross in Mark chapter 10. So there's a lot of different ways in which the disciples kind of almost come to the truth, right? They're almost there. They see it, but they don't necessarily get it. And I had a seminary professor who gave us the good news during one of our Bible classes that was, if there's any chance of the disciples getting into the heaven, there's probably a 3 times greater chance of you getting into heaven in the Gospel of Mark, because there's so many times in the Gospel of Mark where it just says they didn't understand. And that's something we can get behind, right? Whenever we're talking about the perfection of the Sermon on the Mount, we can identify those times in which we sometimes feel that that kind of lifestyle isn't going to lead us to success. That's not going to lead us down the path we want to lead on. That the way of Jesus sometimes leads to way too many storms. And there are storms that we just don't seem to find God in. And so the disciples end up, they get up from this, you know, huge wave, and they go to Jesus. Now, I picture this in a way, I've seen this acted out in TV shows, I've seen this acted out in movies, maybe, you know, on stage at different plays. And Jesus, as per the Gospel of Mark, is not the nicest person in these plays. He rebukes them. He, have you little in the faith? The way I kind of picture this, though, is that he rebukes the sea. The way he deals with the disciples is the way that, did anybody get woken up in the storms last night by anybody doing a Carl Lewis-style jump into your bed to land elbow first in your gut? Now, that has not happened to us yet, but I remember doing this as a kid, you know, right? The storm rages outside, and against all logic, you run into your parents' bed and you cuddle up, because every parent in here has the ability to calm lightning, right? And so, maybe illogical, yeah, it makes no sense from the physical forces of nature, but when you're in your parents' bed, you feel safe, you feel warm, you feel like they're the ones who are going to take care of you because they're with you. Now, any parent that has this happen to you, is your first reaction, oh my gosh, get back in bed, I can't believe you, you have little no faith, go back to bed, come on. No, that's not the reaction. The reaction is, okay, cuddle with me, it'll be all right, why don't you sleep with us tonight? I'll get kicked in the stomach, don't worry, I got work tomorrow, but it's not a big deal. That's the reaction. We suck it up, we take it, right? We calm the people down. So I get the feeling that Jesus is the one who's in the boat, who's calming the disciples down. And it's almost like that half stupor when you wake up of like, oh my gosh, you still don't get it yet. I can't believe that you don't get it. Do you know who I am, right? Do you know that we have a safe house to protect you from the storm? Do you know that I'm always going to be here in the house, even though I'm next door to you in a different bedroom? Do you know that I'm always going to make things well, right? Because with God in the boat, the worst thing is never the last thing. There are so many things that we can go through in our lives. There are conflicts. And we talked about healings a couple weeks ago, so I'm going to let that be in the past. But we've got job loss. We've got divorces. We've got breakups. We've got fights within relationships. We've got fights at work. We've got an outrageous amount of conflict and storms that rise up against us. And what's kind of our natural reaction, right? We just assume it's going to get worse. We just assume in this uncomfortable moment that it's only going to get worse. A really small example, Upward Basketball just finished. I remember we had so many kids sign up that we didn't have enough coaches. You know, it's this wonderful problem to have, right? But then you're sitting there and you're forming teams and you've got practice starting in like 4 days. You don't have a coach for the team. And you just, the spiral in my head is, oh my gosh, this isn't going to have a coach. I'm going to end up having to do it. My family's just going to pack up and leave because I'm at the church 4 more nights. You know, and just the spiral of downward thinking. There's a spiral of thinking of, I just lost my job. I'm not good enough. I'll never get another job. My girlfriend just left me. I'll never get another girl. I mean, just down and down and down and down, where we dig ourselves to where the waves do start to crash over our head and they do start to wash us away. Our boat starts to capsize and all of a sudden we're drowning and we're sinking. And all it is this perception that things will only get worse. Now, there are people in this room who I can look at, I can see your eyes, and I know, and I've been through stuff with you, and I know there are people I haven't been through that you have at one point felt like your boat is just totally have a hole in it and it's leaking and God is nowhere to be found. But what God promises is not that the storm won't come. What God promises is that the worst thing is never the last thing. And that with Jesus, that all will be well. And you can kind of do that so that exercise, or that what comes next exercise. And you can trace it, you can trace it, you can trace it. Without Jesus, everything goes to pot. With Jesus, there's always eternal life. There's always that next step. There is always something good waiting at the end of the tunnel. There is always what we call well. And well is not my idea of perfect, but well is tov. It's good. It is God's intention. And so take no fear at the storms that well up in our lives. Know that there is the master of the universe, the creator of all the world, the savior of all of us, sitting in the back of the boat, just waiting to take action, to speak words to that storm. Stop. We always have to balance what we see as stopping and what God sees as stopping, right? But there's a good news in this. The message of God is that God is there. God never leaves. God is always working for good. Paul believes it. Paul says that God works for the good of all those who love him. And so when we feel alone, when we feel abandoned, the one person who will always be there is Jesus. And I believe that Jesus is the one who calms the storm. Now, you may not get that job back. You may not get that relationship back. But you will find peace. And you will find future. And you will find that life goes on, even into eternity. And one of our biggest issues as a Christian world, one of our biggest issues as humanity, is fear. This notion that things will only get worse. This notion that God has somehow abandoned us. And so what if we knew that the one with a plan, the one with creation's powers, the one who has mastery over all things, would never leave you? What if you knew that every single day? That you could walk through whatever conflict you were preparing in your head for that day and know that Jesus was with you? Would it keep you calmer? Would you find some peace? And how would you treat that other person you have conflict with? And would that help the situation? Because ultimately, with Jesus, the worst thing is never the last thing. The last thing is always God. And it's our intention and our mission to find that. To find what God is bringing to fruition and find what God is bringing to the last thing. And so let us not take fear when the boat seems like it's rocking. Let us not take fear when the storm seems so bad that we are afraid for our lives. Because I don't think, you know, the one thing in this passage that I don't think Jesus necessarily gets mad at the disciples for coming back to him. I think it's what they say. Do you not care about us? Do you not know that we're about to die and you're back here sleeping? And Jesus' response is kind of a cool, I got this. And so never go to Jesus afraid of death. Never go to Jesus afraid of the worst thing. But in your heart and your mind, go to Jesus with the knowledge that he will bring you through the worst of the times, because the worst is never the last.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We invite you to join us in worship every Sunday morning at 9 and 10:30 in either our celebration service, which offers a blended worship style, or in The Bridge, which offers a contemporary and soulful worship style. For more information, visit our website, mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.